The test is in four parts, part 1, part 2, part 3, and part 4. Now look at part 1.
Part 1.
You and a friend are looking for a place to live. You have a list of places and go to see a rental agent to check on a number of points. Listen to the conversation between your friend and the rental agent and complete the list.
First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 7. Now listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 7.
Hi, we've been looking over your listing of apartments for rent, and we have a few questions about a couple of the apartments. Can you help us?
Sure. Yeah, this is our most recent listing. What would you like to know?
Well, we were first wondering about the house on 3rd Street. We can see that it is furnished and rents for $135 a week, but can you tell us how many bedrooms it has?
Let's see. In addition to the den, it has 3 bedrooms.
The rental on 3rd Street has 3 bedrooms. So in the example, 3 bedrooms has been written down in the number of rooms column for 19 3rd Street. Now, we shall begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 6.
Hi, we've been looking over your listing of apartments for rent, and we have a few questions about a couple of the apartments. Can you help us?
Sure. Yeah, this is our most recent listing. What would you like to know?
Well, we were first wondering about the house on 3rd Street. We can see that it is furnished and rents for $135 a week, but can you tell us how many bedrooms it has?
Let's see. In addition to the den, it has 3 bedrooms.
What about the one on Route 9N? It looks like it's big with a library and a deck, but it doesn't say how much it costs or anything else about it.
Oh yes, Mrs. Gaylor's apartment. That one is actually only a 10-month rental, and it is going for $156 per week. It's quite a nice place. She only rents for 10 months each year because of horse racing season. Then her relatives all come to stay, so tenants have to move out. It's a little bit inconvenient, but past tenants have really enjoyed their stay there.
Oh, well, we need it for a full year. I guess that one is out. How about the rental on Broan Drive? How many rooms does that one have?
As it says on the list, it has 2 bedrooms and a private kitchen and bath. But it's actually a very small place. That's why it's a bit cheaper.
Oh. Well then, what about the one that has 3 large rooms? Who is renting that property?
That one is a good deal. Mr. John Smith is renting it. But he's quite eccentric and he has a strict rule about no pets.
How about cats?
Nope, absolutely no pets.
Well then, how about this studio apartment rented by Mr. Bo Jensen? How is that one?
That ad is actually a bit deceptive. The studio apartment is the whole upper floor of an older house. It's actually very large and, at $45 a week, quite affordable. And it's near campus.
I think I'd like to check that one out. Do you have a telephone number that we can call?
It's not on the list. Oh, it isn't. Here it is. You should ring area code 518 and then 543-7790.
Thanks. I think I'll call on that one first.
Your friend decides that he would like to talk to Mr. Bo Jensen.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 8 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 8 to 10.
Hello? 1512, Route 9.
Yes, is this Mr. Jensen?
Yes, it is. Can I help you?
Yeah, we're studying here at university and we came across the rental information for the studio apartment that you're renting. Is it still available?
Yes, of course. I actually just placed the ad and you're the first person to call. Is there anything you'd like to know about it?
Yes, actually there is. As students, we are on the internet a lot and we heard that some homes in the area have high-speed connections. What type of connection do you have there now?
Oh, that's an interesting first question. But I guess I have heard that too. But we just have a phone line here. Nothing fancy. I think you can have a cable line installed, but it's just a phone line for now.
OK. Well, maybe we can do that. What type of heating does the apartment have?
Now, there's a more traditional question. We have oil heat here. It's an older house.
That tends to be a little more expensive during the winter, right?
Yeah, but there's nothing to do about it. It would cost too much for me to put in a gas heater. What else would you like to know about the apartment?
Well, we heard it was quite big. Is it furnished?
Actually, yes. I should have put that in the ad. It has an old couch and a couple chairs, a dining table, refrigerator, stove, and even a dishwasher.
Does it have any beds?
Yep, it has two.
That sounds great. When is the apartment available?
You can have it tomorrow night if you want. I just have to clean up a couple things before you get here. Do you want to come over and see it first?
No, it sounds fine to us. I actually know the street too, so I know the area. We'll take it.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part two.
Part two.
You will hear part of a local radio program about fighting air pollution in Canadian towns. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 14. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 14.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to the Information Roundup on your own local radio station. This is Larry Knowles talking to you this morning on Tuesday, the 25th of May. And the first item coming up is a reminder to you all out there about Canadian Clean Air Day, which is on June 6th. In case you weren't around for the last one, this is a chance for Canadians everywhere to focus on the problems of air pollution and to actually try to do something to help reduce the problem. How many Canadians do you think die annually because of air pollution? 2,000? 3,000? Well, the rate is a staggering 5,000, and it's likely to grow unless we do something. And it's this concern with your health that's the driving force behind the government campaign that is sponsoring Clean Air Day. So what causes air pollution in the first place? Well, the transportation sector accounts for 27% of all greenhouse gases produced in Canada. It's also the biggest source of that thick, polluted air from traffic fumes that we call smog. And it's the tiny particles and ground-level ozone in smog that are the main causes of health problems and even deaths across the country. Of course, it's worse in the big cities, but researchers have only recently realized that all you need are low levels of air pollution to seriously damage your health, so we're all at risk.
You now have some time to look at questions 15 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 15 to 20.
So, what can we do to fight air pollution? Well, it should be pretty obvious by now that the way we get to and from work every day can have a big impact on the air we breathe. So the easiest action you can take on Clean Air Day is to accept what we call the commuter challenge and get to work on foot or by cycling for a change. If you have to use your car, try carpooling and share the drive, or better still, use public transit. If everyone tries this for just one day, you'll be amazed by the difference it can make to the air in our towns and cities. But there's more you can do to improve air quality. For example, you can plant trees. And if you don't have a garden, then you can do your bit in other ways. For instance, did you know that modern, improved wood stoves can reduce wood smoke by as much as 80 to 90%? So you can make a big difference if you upgrade the appliances you use in your home. The government is also working hard on your behalf to clean up our air. Its priority is to reduce the emissions that cause smog, and they have clear plans to get there. Last year, Canada and the United States agreed to reduce emissions on both sides of the border between the two countries, and they plan to reach their targets in the next few years. The government's also taking action to get cleaner fuels. It's already reduced the sulfur contained in gasoline, and it hopes to reach the reduction target for sulfur in diesel by next year. But the measures don't just focus on the motorist. The federal government's also working to reduce emissions from power plants and factories right across the provinces. You can find out all about government action and all the plans for Clean Air Day events.
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part three.
Part three.
You will hear two students, called Richard and Shirley, discussing the information they have collected so far for a group project.
First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 26. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 26.
Hi, Shirley. Glad you could meet me at the weekend to talk about the research we have to do on energy.
Yes, Richard. I think it's important that we stay focused on the specific area of our research, energy consumption.
Did you know that the demand for electricity is growing faster than coal, oil and gas can supply it?
Yes, indeed. Coal and oil, which I discovered are also known as fossil fuels, could have disastrous effects on world climate.
My research supports you. I also found out that the weather could be affected by global warming.
However, a range of fuels are used around the world. Did you know that the most common fuels are the fossil fuels, with oil accounting for almost half at 45%? Coal and natural gas are equal next at 20%. With nuclear power being the lowest at 7%. Other sources of energy are also near the bottom at 8%.
Before the final part of the conversation, you now have 20 seconds to look at questions 27 to 30. Now answer questions 27 to 30.
That information will be useful when we look at the different energy sources in detail. We also need to look at the pros and cons of each type of energy. We've already said that fossil fuels increase the world's temperature, but we also need to mention the most serious issue, that these three types of fuel are finite, meaning they will not last forever. Another major disadvantage is that by burning coal and oil in particular, chemicals are released into the atmosphere, which combine with water to fall back to Earth and damage both plant and animal life.
That really sounds useful. If you focus on coal, oil and gas, I'll look into nuclear power. It is common knowledge that nuclear power stations create radioactive waste, but I'm particularly interested in how this unwanted waste product is dealt with safely. I'll also need to look at the effects on people living near these power stations.
Yes, I think all those areas need exploring. Do you think I should also look into renewable energy sources, such as wind and sun, energy that never runs out?
Don't you think it's an important area to consider?
Yes, but I don't think I'll have enough time to look at it in enough detail.
I also agree that we have enough to focus on until our next group meeting. So to finish, you could find some information on the advantages of fossil fuels, and I'll give you the facts that I have already on coal, oil and gas. We don't need to look into other energy sources because I'll get more details on the nuclear industry.
That's great. See you in 2 weeks' time.
That is the end of part 3.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part 4.
Part 4.
You will hear a talk on the effect of architecture on people's mood. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40. My group has been doing a project on the importance of architecture in people's lives and whether it has any impact on the lives of people in general. The main part I have played is in the collection of data to find out what effect, if any, various buildings have on people's mood, i.e. whether ugly buildings make people unhappy, and whether beautiful buildings do the opposite. We had originally thought of starting measuring people's reactions by using a questionnaire with about 40 questions, which we were going to hand out to people, including students at the university. But we were worried that doing the questionnaire would be too time-consuming for people to fill in, so we gave up the idea. I then asked several of the postgraduate students for advice. One of them came up with the simple idea of showing people images of various buildings from different eras and styles, instead of giving out the questionnaire, and asking them to indicate how they felt on a scale of 1 to 5 about the images, where 1 was unhappy and 5 was very happy. People would also be given the option of not saying what they felt. Using the scale meant that it would be much simpler to record people's reactions. I decided to follow this advice, and so the first stage was to collect a large number of images,
I used Google to print off colour images of views of houses and apartment blocks where people live, and different types of buildings where they work. I started with about 30 or 40, and then reduced them to 10 images. Media resources in the Amory building at the Judd Street branch of the university helped me produce the final images. I had them blown up to A4 size, and we used colour rather than black and white to make the detail on the images clearer. We made 5 sets of images, and for protection when handling, we pasted the images onto hard card. Then, using a machine to wrap them with plastic, we laminated the cards. 5 of us targeted different age groups. We went to a local school where we obtained permission to ask a group of teenagers between 11 and 18. We also asked a sample of the general public, including tourists from all over the world, as they exited the Tate Modern in London, what they thought. We aimed to ask people from different age groups, namely 20 to 40 and 50 and over. What our group learnt most from the project was first of all the value of teamwork. And secondly, we found that we had to appoint a leader to stop us pulling in different directions and falling apart. So this turned out to be an invaluable lesson for all of us. As to the findings, for us they proved intriguing. In the end, the sample consisted of 311 respondents. I thought initially that people wouldn't be interested in taking part. With the youngest age group, their reaction was very mixed. It was clear that the youngest group had no pattern of preference at all, as they frequently gave no reaction to the pictures. For the 20 to 40 age group, we found that they tended to score more in the middle range, around 3. We found that out of the 3 groups, the most likely to be favourably affected by the images, that is, they were more likely to score the images as 5, were those aged 50 and above. And nobody in this age group failed to say what their reaction was, which was unique for the 3 groups. In total, I have to say that about 71 people indicated that they had no reaction at all to an image. Our general conclusion is that we need to find out more about why people react as they do, by perhaps giving them a chance to give reasons for their decisions. I would like to finish there and give my teammates a chance to add anything I've missed or take any questions or suggestions.
That is the end of part 4.
You now have half a minute